James, get out.
Get out.
Get out, James. James buggering around with microphones. All right, it's Monday morning, and we are live, and we're ready to take you into your new week, new month. It's the 1st of July, too, today. Quick thing, if you ever take, and I do, I take a bunch of different pills in the morning just because, you know, I want to live forever. So I do things like, one of the things I've added recently is methylfolate, apparently very good for you.
Isn't that for pregnancy? I don't know.
No.
The methyl part, no.
No, I told you why I do this.
Folic acid is what I'm
so
thinking
I was convinced of this years ago by a guy called Ray Kurzweil, who, look, he's old as the hills now, but he reckons that we will be one with the computers. We will we reach the point of singularity by 2028, which is not far away. And he says by 2042, we will be a hybrid species, one with the cloud.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun. So I'm not going to reach that point being a disaster, falling apart. So I just take it in case. You know what? If it's a waste of money, makes for expensive urine, then too bad.
Mm.
But I do. I take these things in the morning, and then I do have a little bit of, like, stomach unease first thing, right? What is it?
Well,
and look who's here. Alan Ford is here.
Look who's here.
Look at this. It's Alan Ford.
Good morning to you and to you
and especially,
especially
to you. Very nice, Al.
Because it's a green bottle.
Yeah. All right. So just quickly, Al. First of all, welcome.
I look like I'm going to the horse races.
You do actually, but the last time I saw you was at the horse races, so that's appropriate.
Yeah.
But you're a lib, so that's okay.
Yeah, because it's July, so you've got the dry July, the hard July, the
German July.
Yeah.
Right. So Al, first of all, you've just got back from London.
Yes,
I saw you had a nice little trip to London.
Mm, great trip to London.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I haven't been to London with a king before. The last time I was in London with a queen.
Oh, right.
So it's been...
But you're always in London with a queen.
It was just with a proud
Al, you're always in London with a queen.
That's the interesting thing.
Well,
so there were so many queens. There were so many queens. And two kings, of course, King Camilla and King Charles. So it's just
very good.
Yeah.
So Al, it's nice to have you back, but...
it's great to be here. Good morning.
I know, you know, when we talk about vitamins, you always used to have Professor Harry Seftal.
H.H., honest Harry.
And he used to tell you, Alan, you know, if you take vitamins, you're just wasting your money. It's expensive urine.
And fish, fowl, and fiber. Those three things. yeah, he did used to say things like that. But, you know, I think your vitamins are important.
Do you do vitamins?
I do vitamins.
Yeah.
I really do.
I take too many other medications. I don't want to.
But you even have stuff. You have the pill box with the different things.
That's just to survive.
That's depression and all those things.
Okay.
Those things you've got to take.
But do you take vitamins and supplements? And
I'm not. But just, you actually didn't get those ranges that are like BioPlus has got their full range of stuff.
Yeah,
and you can just go get the full range of. You just go and buy the four in one.
Like a multivitamin.
And you keep not one tablet. It's got like all four tablets in one, and then you've got everything.
Oh, right.
You got your magnesium and your.
Yeah, you need that stuff.
But I don't know. My life's gone weird. I'm getting gout at the moment.
And oh.
I don't eat meat.
Welcome to this episode of Matlock Crust with the Golden Girls.
Very much hereditary.
Who are you in the Golden? Who are you in the Golden Girls? By the way, I'll come to Gout in a moment.
He's the man.
Dorothy.
One.
Dorothy. Yes, he's the man one. Yeah.
Yes.
I wonder if I'm blonde. No, I'm not blonde.
Dorothy. Am I?
Yeah, you're definitely Dorothy. You'd be Arthur. Do you remember when we used to interview her? I actually interviewed Bea Arthur once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
She had a very deep voice.
She came to South Africa. She came to do a show at Peter Turin.
She had a very deep voice. Is she grumpy in real life?
No, she was stunning, actually.
Oh, really?
She lay on a piano and she was 81. She was great. But
Dorothy.
But coming
that
back
sounds
to gout,
okay.
I mean, I don't drink. So I don't understand why I get this
stupid thing.
It's hereditary.
So what is that? What is gout? I don't know what that is.
It's like when there's calcification between the joints.
Oh, your feet
Where
sore.
Is it? Is it your toes?
Yeah, toes. Yeah.
Oh, your toes sore. Are they sore?
Toes.
What, like you can't move them sore?
It's very
like
painful.
Very
it's
painful. Very,
and it's an interesting thing because all the things that give you it, I don't drink.
Undoing.
I don't do.
It's in your genes. My brother's just started with his because my dad has gout.
Yeah.
And
there's a
tonic that you can get in Norwood.
Yeah,
you know it.
Yes, but the problem is that tonic makes you high and then sleepy.
Oh.
And it gives you so much stuff. It gives you. It's like 10 things put in one.
Wow. That
you
can't
take
be legal. Whatever you two are taking that.
Yeah.
Let's get back to vitamins.
Back to vitamins.
So
why do you get nauseous?
Okay, so we generally take them in the morning before we eat anything, which is a big mistake, right? And this is according to David Poppers. He's not popping pills, but his name is David Poppers, gastroenterologist in New York. And if you're not experiencing nausea, it might just be like abdominal discomfort or sometimes even diarrhea. Sometimes the tablets go in one way and come out before they're even digested. So that you actually should be taking them in a specific order. If it's a more acidic vitamin, like vitamin C or folate, those can cause nausea if you have them on an empty stomach. You should actually have a snack or a little bit of food with those.
No.
And then your fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, those are better absorbed with when they're not taken with food. So it's not about blindly just taking everything at once. You need to actually, if you're going to respect your body by taking vitamins and at least respect your stomach and have them
a certain
time.
When you intermittent fast like I do, then you can't take any. You know, my diet's upside down. Because I'm on I was on a lot of antibiotics, and then you try and take your vitamins. So I'm doing a lot of things on empty stomachs.
It's so complicated.
That's one thing my ex said to me when I said, "Oh, I have to take this before food." He said, "You're gonna have to wake up at like 2 a.m."
Okay, so I get the nausea, but I think okay, well, this is just a thing I have to get through. It's like so life's not always you're not always feeling perfect.
No.
But if I want those vitamins, I'm just gonna suffer a little bit for
the
a little while.
Some of these,
as long as I'm not shitting the bed. I'm okay.
Some of these don't actually work well when you take them together, and they're going to cancel each other out and not be absorbed.
No. Okay, well then, then please.
You should be getting everything that you need from your food.
My partner takes schedule 6 opioids on an empty stomach.
Oh,
gee whiz, opioids.
They're not going to be around for long.
Yeah, but that
don't go buying any green bananas.
Okay, interesting.
Opioids. What are those again? I only
Bitcoin
know them in like drug form, like
guys.
Yeah.
Do you see these things online of people saying "Get ready with me"?
You know the
"Get ready with me" videos.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, you're very lucky.
What?
Thank God.
Because what it is it's these boring people, and they're like,
well, it's influencers. And
yeah,
things.
Exactly. Boring people. You get ready with them.
With the makeup, while they're doing that.
Getting dressed or eating their breakfast, washing
their assholes, whatever it is that they do. This boring, like social media influencers.
Get ready with me.
And they get ready with me. So now,
hashtag
what you must
DRWM.
But the thing that you know, they never tell you what they're getting ready for, and you know they haven't been invited to anything interesting. So I reckon what they do is they get ready with you. And then they walk out of their door, they walk straight back in,
and
they
shower.
And then they cry. And they cry and they cry because they're getting ready and no one's invited them anywhere. Because if you're a get ready with me person, I'm uninvited.
But Gareth, there is no point to it. The point is to just push product. This is the industry I'm in. I'm in the beauty industry.
Oh, you? What are you doing in the beauty industry?
Social She's a model. Media, digital media.
Don't you know?
Get ready with me.
Damn.
Obviously.
Leanne, can I be a model at 47? Does it work?
Go on.
No, and it's all about, of course.
She's a nude model.
Of course they're just. No, you don't want to see
only
that.
Fans.
Of course they're
Leanne's
just
only fans.
Has she got a fan? I mean, sorry.
Look, she's trying to.
You know what I meant, Leanne. I mean, you have fans.
Because they're just walking out and then coming back in. And then they're filming another one with more products and different products after that.
So who's watching this?
Even worse
people.
And you're also getting ready for school lunches and you're putting
Moms
tomatoes.
Are doing
and,
it. Everyone's doing it. Watch me make my smoothie.
You know, as a producer, I've done 26 years of all this. No, more, 27 years of all this stuff. You know, I don't go and run the 100 meters. In 10 seconds. It's because, number one, I can't.
I'm very surprised.
Really, I know. So am
I would never have guessed.
Because it's not what my job.
Yeah.
So stick to your job. Stick to what you do. And I think we've got too many people on screens.
Oh, I think on the planet.
We know that. 8 billion. But too many people on screens.
No, everyone's a star.
No.
There's no one to watch the stars.
Mm. Yeah. It really is. Everyone's a star and everybody's child is a star now. And everybody.
I mean, also these celebrities are pushing their children on us. Just stop it. It's disgusting. I see Blue Iris, the child of Beyonce.
Yes.
Is now being pushed out there as a product herself. We got.
You saw the Kardashian kid that did the stage production.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And it was so bad.
Kanye's children with Kim. Ugh. The
Northwest.
Northwest.
I said east south. Is that the?
I mean, it was bad enough when like the Barrymores pushed Drew onto us. We had to watch her, that insufferable little girl in E.T.
But she was good, at least, you know.
Please. Yeah. Grasping for attention.
My hairy legs will make lots of money on OnlyFans.
That's beautiful, Raven. So, I'm proud of you.
So I want to talk about this OnlyFans for a second.
Oh, okay. Well, so I knew you would.
For people who don't know what OnlyFans is, it's obviously, you know, where people have their own little personal...
And you have to pay, right, to see just stuff.
See, and then I can have an OnlyFans account, and I can, you know, obviously... porn on there. And
but it doesn't have to be porn. It didn't start that way.
It didn't start that way.
It started off with like...
It was like this. It started off like this.
It was like arts and crafts and...
And do you know that thing that you spoke about earlier? That, what's it called?
Get ready with me.
Get ready with me. This is another way to get ready here.
Sure.
Was for other things.
Get unready with me.
Yeah. So here's the thing. But you know there are people that just... They're like fat and ugly and then they just do their feet. So they do feet porn.
Mm. Yes.
They
just do their day. That's a big thing. Yeah. You know who wanted to do that was Nina Hasty. She's very keen.
And then they're totally keen. So it's interesting that. That's interesting.
Hobbit feet is a gold mine, apparently. So if you
any
have
feet, if your feet are beautiful or ugly, you can make a lot of money
but
with
who
them.
But what's going on? I'm so confused.
So I don't know. I spoke to a psychologist once about this, L. And
that's
I apparently
have a fetish.
You know, apparently it wasn't. I didn't go to the psychologist to talk about this.
It was a psychologist.
No, it was a psychologist who happened to be at dinner with the rest of us.
I
said to her, "Why are there these people with this foot fetish thing?" And she reckons it comes from when they're very little and they have an experience, like someone touches their foot or something, and it like imprints in their head, and then they end up. That's the only thing that turns them on eventually.
I had a friend.
Or when they're a teenage boy and like. A school teacher is wearing like very sexy shoes and one of the other kids points it out and then they like obsess about that and then that becomes their fetish.
Yes.
I had a friend who had a foot phobia.
Ooh.
And I promise you it was real. We went on holiday in Mozambique and we stayed on a beach. We slept on the beach and in these like huts. It was a really nice experience. Sounds horrible, but
sounds revolting, but okay.
And obviously you're walking around barefoot the whole time and she was permanently in a state. She can't look at feet. She can't look at her own feet. She can't have people touching her feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just glad that feet don't play such an important role in my life. I'm really happy about not worrying about feet the whole time. But why do you ask? Because you think it's odd also that people that would be the funny, that of all the body parts, it's the feet that would turn them on.
Yeah, well, I mean, remember your
hair. Or is this related to your gout?
No. But
just checking.
But just remember that a lot of the times, I would imagine the other body parts are involved in the other acts.
Like your feet your plus
hands
something,
or
a
things.
Combi.
And so I would imagine the feet is a standalone thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get.
I'd get Hanan on the line. He would know.
Yeah, well, we've used up his timer. You can't go over the clock with
you
a psychologist.
You can only choose one ailment per week.
I don't know. I think, you know what's weird about the internet, and this is really an interesting game you can play with your friends as well, is you ask them what the weirdest category of like kinky odd shit that they've seen on the internet is.
Wow. The problem is because it always becomes disgusting.
It is disgusting because people, like before, in the days before the internet, if you had a weird fetish for like, I don't know, syrup on titties or something, okay, and that was your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to
pay a lot of money.
But first of all, you'd have to talk to 1,000 people before you'd find one who maybe had the same thing.
Mm.
Maybe even 10,000 people. Plus, of those 10,000 people,
and we're talking literally talk to and meet.
Yes, and of those 10,000 people, 99% of them would shun you forever. They would go, ugh.
Or they would keep quiet
that's
about
gross.
It. So would you,
what's
and
wrong
you'd
with
never
you?
Know.
You are so gross. I don't want to ever be around you again. They would be put off and disgusted and you would feel shame and you would not bring up your disgusting fetish again. Now, because of the internet, all the freak show stuff is it gathers in little corners of the internet. Now, look, I mean, I'm not – as long as you don't get in my way, it's fine. You're allowed to do your thing. If you've got a weird fetish, that's
and you don't break the law.
As obviously. Long as you don't break the law and it's consensual with another adult human
course,
being,
yeah.
Right? But these things have only been allowed to grow because of the internet. And I'll tell you what, there are – dark places. I mean, you just have to look at the categorizations of like the most popular, because you know they bring out that research every year. We try to talk about it on the show because it's interesting.
Mm.
It's like, what are the most popular categories? Like you know, stepsister stuff or like
MILF log on to any porn site and you can see the categories for yourself.
And there are so many categories now.
Well, not log on, just browse anonymously.
No, but there's so many categories now. It's become like everybody is so super. You know how humans get
super specialized?
They get super specialized. Mm. So now, I reckon when people meet, they're like, they meet. And 100 years ago, they would have gone, wow, you know, you're really attractive to me. Let's get together. Now they're like going through the categories of weird kinks and things. And if they don't match perfectly, which is highly unlikely, it's just not going to work because, like, he's into the foot porn, but she's into
she's got a foot phobia.
Yeah, she's got foot phobia. And then, oh, well, we've got to call it off. So people just don't. That's why we're doomed as a species. We're doomed because of all these different micro-specializations in weirdness.
Yeah, and it's like a doctor. When you specialize too much, you know everything about one thing and nothing about everything.
Yeah, you become an expert in the big toe and nothing else.
Interesting.
I mean, what a time to be alive, right, Al?
What a time to be alive with gout.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about ass porn. I mean, ass to mouth porn here. This guy says Raven. But Raven. foot and gout porn. Yeah, I wonder if there's gout porn.
I don't know. No, you can't see it.
So it's not like you have a carbuncle on your
It's not like a bunion.
I thought it was a thing that grew.
No, it's just feel it inside. It's inside.
So it's not a growth.
No, it's in your bones.
Never see it.
Revolting.
It's in your joints.
Gareth strikes me as a golden shower kind of guy.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not. Slippery pickle, you could not be more wrong.
That is the most. Gareth would die. Actually, you would die. You could put him to death.
Mm-mm. I can't. I mean, I
can't even handle even a drop of sweat on it. Isn't like that?
So that slippery pickles completely misread me.
He gets angry with himself when he sneezes. It's true.
I am in the room. Rolene says we worked with an old man that bought shoes for women at work because he had such a foot fetish. Ew, an old man.
I dated someone who liked to dress up as a woman.
Ew.
Yeah, and I actually bought him. For his birthday, a very large dress.
You dated this
a very large dress.
Yeah, and a, like size and the biggest women's shoes I could find.
You dated this woman.
This man. Yes. Okay. It was kind of weird at first, but
did he really like
it? Yeah, he loved it.
He was so excited.
And he put the stuff on and undid his makeup.
Oh, wow. It's like you were playing house.
And can I ask you a question? Was it a fetish? Would it turn
Leanne
into
was playing adult Barbies.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't turn into a sexual thing. He just dressed up for you to then undress him.
No, he just enjoyed it.
It's like a drag queen. He's like dressing up like a drag queen.
Yeah. Drag artist. It's interesting. So I want to come back to London.
Tell me what you got up to.
So I said, I went to a place called Heaven. Heaven's one of the most famous gay clubs in London. All the famous people go there, from Judi Dench. They've all been there. And they were there on a night of what they call Porn Idol. So we didn't know about it.
Oh, Jesus.
But we wanted to go and see a drag artist from RuPaul's Drag Race called Miss Vanjie. I don't know if you know Miss Vanjie. But if you know who Miss Vanjie is, you'll catch it. So Vanessa Vanjie. And we went to go watch Porn Idol at Heaven. And it was so interesting because they had about 8 contestants. And the first prize was £1,000, which is good
money. It's a lot
money.
Of money, yeah.
You know, it's good money. But the highest, ugliest people do these things.
Yeah, of course.
What happened to the hot people? You know, London is the center of the world, of hotness. You know, gone are the days.
Were they bad, Al?
You know, when England used to have ugly people, because they never had a proper health system, so the teeth were always skewed.
The teeth, yeah, especially.
The British people weren't pretty.
No.
Now there's just everybody else there. So they're a lot prettier. And then they
okay.
Okay. So
but there we go. There's Miss Van.
So there's Miss Vanjie. And so all of a sudden, it comes to the stage and they've got 2 minutes. Miss Vanjie's flying in from overseas, from Miami, to be one of the judges. Heaven is packed. There are drag queens there. There are a whole bunch of people. And they're doing these, and people have to got 2 minutes to
this,
get down.
By the way, this sounds like the Olympics for gays.
You got 2 minutes to not gay. Firstly, there were probably, I think there were 5 guys and 3 girls.
Oh,
one, yeah, and the girls actually weren't bad. I must say, I was like converted almost for a second, going, what's going on in there?
Okay,
interesting moment. But the thing is that why is it that the 13th July at the July handicap, the 13th race, always the ugly people
run
naked. Why are the hot people, the OnlyFans people, why were they not there? I was expecting to see some real hot ass.
It's the same as nudist resorts. Have you ever?
Yes, I have, and I've done a feature on it. I'll tell you two
things. You've been to a nudist resort?
Yes, I've done it. I've actually filmed for Veranderdinge and quite a few shows that I've done some stuff.
Right,
interested in naturalism and in nudism. Again, another thing with that. There are people that finally settle into their bodies, which happens when you're like 70. And then I'm going to tell you something interesting about nudist resorts in a moment. And then all of a sudden they want to be free, which is great. Put your boobs out. Put your thing out. Do what you've got to do. Interesting thing about a nudist resort. You know, ladies have to walk on a carrier towel around with them because when they sit so they don't leave.
A snail trail.
Is that what that so they don't leave a water print?
And the guys, but both sexes, the assholes rubbing on the furniture. Imagine you sit on someone's lounge suite
by the pool.
Well, we do that with our animals in our house. We have our cats sitting on our counters animals. And our dogs on our sofas and pillows.
But anyway, I want please my appeal is the hot people.
They won't
please enter these things.
They don't have to.
No, but they're doing it on OnlyFans. For £1,000, they can damn well do it at heaven. What are you talking about?
You were disappointed.
Cis man.
Very disappointed.
I was extremely disappointed.
Did you pay to get in?
So you go to a bar called GAY and then you get a tag and you pay £2. So it's kind of, it's great, but it comes to another point that I want to raise because it was just the start of Pride Week. The end of,
okay.
So it was,
ooh, so you
so
were there
all
for
the
that.
Queens, Pride Week was this weekend.
I mean,
so
Elton John, I mean, he must have gone to a lot of those.
Listen, everyone goes to heaven. Heaven's quite a spot.
Yeah.
So, but I've noticed now that we now live in a society which we've always dreamed of as a gay man, where everyone's integrated and we accept everybody.
Yeah, of course.
But they are everywhere, you straights. They are everywhere. It's like
what do you mean?
They're more
straights at gay places than there are gays.
Understand.
And women. And all the fag hags.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're there and we appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you. But please
I'm
with someone.
And what's a beard again? A beard is a woman No, trust me, we've spoken about the body hair thing already this morning.
Yeah.
A beard, someone told me this just the other day, is a woman who is with a guy who's pretending to be straight, but he's actually gay. So he's closeted. And then the beard gives him cover.
Oh, right. An arranged.
That's a different thing, okay? But this is the hot girls go with their gay boyfriend, gay mates.
Okay.
And they go off to the clubs because they kind of feel they're in a safe space.
Yeah.
Mm. So let me start to give people some secrets, straight guys. Let me listen to me. Trust me. This is a better than a ha nun moment. Trust me.
All right. Go on.
You take a hot fag hag with you. I mean, you joined. You go,
where do you find them?
Your friends.
You were a fag hag.
Yeah, lots of them. And they're hot.
Yeah.
And they feel safe. And then they go to the gay clubs. And,
that was the thing. And feeling safe.
And you feel safe. And then all of a sudden, you take a straight. Like I've taken some of my straight mates before.
Like guy mates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they come in for the prowl. And the girls get drunk and they feel safe. And then the boys just hit. So straight guys. Go with
but
the gay.
Just now it seemed like you were complaining about the straights coming to the gay places.
Straight guys that we convert perhaps, but not the woman men.
Well, you can't have it both ways. Either you're inviting them so that they can score the girls, or you're inviting them because you want to score them.
So I wanted to just...
The one motivation is very different to the other.
I'm trying to explain the concept. It's a very integrated society. We've got a lot of women at all the gay places, which thank you very much. We appreciate you. But really? But like there must be a cutoff time. 1 o'clock go.
Yeah, and then also like gay friends of mine will say then they find a new spot. They've got to go and, you know, start something new.
And they've got to try and find a new thing because it becomes your...
Sounds a lot like discrimination.
That's it. Now, thank you. So you see, you can't have your cake and eat it. So that's why I started by saying thank you for being there for us.
Yeah.
But now bugger off.
Right.
Seriously. You know, it's just, Gareth, there is an issue. It's just that now everyone wants to be at all our places. Mm. And we liked our place. Our places are fabulous.
Because sometimes isn't the attraction of things also the secretive side of it?
But there's no secretive side anymore. Now that's all
open.
Bitcoin Butts says here, I used to go to gay clubs to pick up chicks who wanted to get away from oaks in the straight bars.
Yes, and that's what so, oaks. So that's what I'm saying. So now they've got the Hogs Higgs next to the Babylon.
Yes,
and the, in the Lova. Yeah. So all the straights.
Yeah,
hook and end up landing up, and then there's fist fights, and it's like, you know they're straight.
Yeah, because gays don't have fist fights. Very rarely.
Well, they do other things with fist things. But
Jesus.
Good morning. How you doing?
Gay people walk into straight bars all the time. Don't be a cunt. Oh, that's nice of you, Sam.
Don't be a what?
Well, okay, I think she meant cunt, but she spelt it cunt. Very rough. Listen, that's a rough start to the morning,
sorry, Sam. I want to come to you. So you're right, and I'm being a hypocrite. So don't get me wrong, and I'm not. You are right. It's 100%.
Gay is not the opposite of straight in society because it's a population thing. It's a you have what is the word I'm looking for?
To say
a minority
a
thing. That's what it is. So it's not black and white.
Sam, you're right. And I wouldn't often say that you know that being called that is appropriate, but Sam has a point because you can't have your cake and eat it. If you want an integrated society,
you have to accept that it's not always going to go exactly the way you want.
Like I'm saying,
it's like the nudists. You can't go into
that. I'm going to a gay dinner party, which is all gay guy. He's like, why do you have to say that?
And just not. I'm going to a dinner party.
Yeah. Sam. You know what? Gay people walking to straight bars, also don't be a cunt. You're right.
Don't be a cunt.
Yeah, right. I think what you meant is don't be a cunt, do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Got you, Sam Griffin.
Be a can.
And Raven says the straight boys go there for the free drinks because then the gays will buy the straight
guys. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. And you find all the gay queens and they all go, oh, it's so hot.
But you know what?
I
might actually, the type of person that I wouldn't want to date would be a man who says, I wouldn't be caught dead in a place like that. I wouldn't go near that place.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't.
That's
like
the type
that
of person I wouldn't.
But there are not a lot of guys like that anymore.
Yeah, we've moved on.
I think we have moved on as a society, El. Yeah. I don't think
you'll be surprised, hey? When you're in the workplace, there are a lot of people who still say things like, that's so gay.
Yeah, but when you're saying that's so gay, you don't mean it like gay. You actually mean.
No, they mean like.
No, man. You know, no.
You're being homophobic.
If someone says that's so gay, they mean it's like it's lame. They don't mean it's like gay as in gay.
But it's
gay
coming
people.
From the same person who is revolted by men putting on makeup. He feels disgusted.
Now I want to tell you. So at the Naledi Awards this year, I was one of the sponsors, right? And I chose to present the best costume and the best. Set, but I particularly asked to do this because I wanted to actually pay homage to the artistry of drag, and it's we have incredible. Actually, we should get some on the show, Gareth. Some incredible South African drag artists that are just like Brendan Van Rain, and these are people that have done been through theatrical schools. They sing beautifully, so it's a big difference between what your boyfriend was doing.
Oh yes, yeah.
So weird to look at Leanne and say, your boyfriend. You know, because that's not an artistry. That's not a drag artist. That's just someone who likes to wear women's clothes. Mm. Nothing wrong with that. But drag artistry is a lot of work, and they make their own clothing or they have designers design these beautiful pieces. So I pay homage to drag artistry. And now, I mean, RuPaul's Drag Race is one of the top shows in the world. Mm-hmm. It's won all the Emmys over the past, I think, 10 years. And when it first started, everybody thought, what the hell's going on here? Mm. But it is an artistry. And so when you see some of the top drag queens of the world, they're making a fortune, Gareth. I mean, they're making a fortune. And artistry. And
But it's like, you know, like musicals. Some people can't stand them. Some people like, watching pantomimes. I mean, I would rather be shot in the head.
Yeah, it's
and dragged through the streets of Mogadishu, by a Toyota Hilux, than have to go to a pantomime in my life. But
like some people will feel awkward watching a musical. It's like
firstly, another thing about London: mind blowing musicals.
Yeah,
I went to see Mrs. Doubtfire the musical.
Oh, wow.
The guy was better than Robin Williams on that stage. I went to see
maybe that's why Robin Williams killed himself.
So, Six is a musical about Henry the Eighth. It's almost like the Spice
wives?
Girls, and the Spice Girls meets Henry the Eighth's six wives.
It's wow.
Lesson to self. Lesson to self. To self.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self. That is Mayfair came there for
a
second.
Self.
Self. Hello, darling. Hello, Leanne. At this age.
Yeah.
That was me trying to be Mrs. Doubtfire. But so. Where was I?
I lost my mind. Henry,
oh my God!
King Henry. So
dementia's kicking in.
So Six is a musical about the six wives of Henry VIII.
You probably rock. Wouldn't like it because it's
I'd hate it. First of all, it's a musical.
It's all a rock show, which is brilliant.
Oh, God.
And I want to tell you about it because they make. Do you know who Henry the Fifth's wife was?
Catherine.
You'll know.
No. Catherine de Valois.
Okay, then Henry the Fourth.
Isabel de Bohun.
Henry the Third. Okay, you're a freak. But the point of the matter, who in the world wouldn't know who Henry the Eighth was unless he had the six wives? And that was the lesson of that whole musical. Then we saw Hamilton, which is Alexander Hamilton. Gareth, you would love the history of the Civil War in America. So great musicals. And then South Africa's also had two phenomenal musicals on at the moment. I mean, Mamma Mia was sold out. And we had Spring Awakening. So I want to just talk about musicals at the moment. Musicals are alive and well, and people should really, you know, get back into taking their kids to see pantos.
You know what, Al? You've
I know
seen
you
it.
Don't love it, but
no,
it's
I hate
I used,
it. I don't just not love
on
it.
This, on this I network, I used to do this. I used to do
I know.
Promoting these shows,
basically,
and I love it.
To your credit, and I admire this, you know, I do see the value of theater and musical theater and all that stuff in society. I think it's an important part of society. I have absolutely no interest. You know, I mean, if you invite me to any of that stuff, you don't even try because you know what
yeah,
my answer is.
Back in the day, Gareth, you liked, I mean, you and Lane Miz were one.
Al, I would rather walk
I
over
understand.
Broken
I
glass
I get
on
now.
My face than have to go to any of those things. I just don't, you know, some people like this stuff, some people don't. And you have, and this is what I want to get to your credit, you've kept theater alive single-handedly in this country. You've supported all of the shows. You go to all the shows. You love the shows. You're very good at it. I think you're terrific with that stuff. I just, you can't get me to go.
On a side note, Corin Zoid's coming to town, by the way.
All right.
A good rock concert this week. You're
going to
see it at Peter Turin.
Okay.
I want to just give it a
see. I mean, he knows what's going on. He really does know all the people in the business as well. Which
So I just want to just say that. You know, it's musical theater's love and well. And and drag artistry is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't find that amusing for the same reason I don't find like white people in blackface amusing. And I don't want to get into a whole political discussion, but I don't think that there are very, very funny, there are funny drag queens. There's that one who we had on not so long ago, Lily Slapped Silly.
She's great. Yeah.
She's amazing, right?
Beryl,
she's very funny.
Yeah,
she's got this character called Beryl. But honestly, like a lot of it, I find it's kind of, like these guys really don't like women,
Gareth.
They
Gareth,
are making fun
it's
of
an artistry,
women.
No,
I know,
yeah,
I know,
you miss it,
I know,
you miss it.
I know.
What's
I've
the show that
on?
I love? It's three it's three guys who go around America.
It's Chu Wong Fu.
What?
Chu Wong Fu?
No,
not that
it's
one.
Almost,
with Patrick
it's
Swayze.
Almost like Queer Eye.
Oh, that it's a reality
it's
series.
Bobby.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the so we talk about like the artistry of drag and Mrs. Doubtfire. We talk about Big Mama's House. You got Tootsie, remember with Dustin Hoffman. I mean, so yeah,
Highball Sailor in the comments says, Alan needs a leather harness, leather daddy makeover.
Ooh. Highball.
Wow.
That is Highball.
Ooh.
Highball,
you like that, Al?
Thanks, Highball.
You're going to try that out?
No.
I'm sure you have.
The problem with leather is too tight and squeezing everything in.
I took a leather
harness.
Jobby on my honeymoon.
Did you? You what?
Yes. Oh,
no. You what?
Yes.
You're freaky. You're freaky.
Been a,
it was
she's
one
been
of those
swinger,
where it's a,
she's done all the stuff. Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's a triangle, but the triangle's empty, so you have your.
So you can see your nipples out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And then you get the leather tested.
Metal chains over them.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And they had
this is a great Monday
well.
Morning.
Have
Hello,
you still
to
got
welcome
it?
To
so
July.
Firstly, I got stopped at the airport on my honeymoon because they could see this metal leather thing through the X-ray, and I was still at that point trying to hide it from my husband. So that was weird. And then I did put it on and I came out and we laughed until we cried until we – there was just no – it wasn't sexual at all. We laughed until we went for dinner. Okay. And then
somebody says 50 Shades of Leanne.
Yeah. Trying to put that thing on and the sounds of it in the bathroom and the clanging. And that was hilarious.
Jane. But you have leather bars where people can go to things. Yeah. Not my but thanks for the
day. Leather bars, hell.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Leather bars. There's one in Cape Town. Where they dress up and...
You see, again, specialization.
Yeah, but that's...
Everybody's got a place now.
But the leather bar...
Now, what if you go into the leather bar and you're not into the leathers?
It's a bit weird because I have been into the leather bar.
A balloon... What's that? Lycra stuff.
Yeah. So what if you go in there and...
I think that fits in the leather bar.
Do the leather people all turn around and look at you like...
They do. They look at you. Why are you wearing clothes? Like a top. Why are you wearing a jersey? Yeah, yeah. What's going on? But interesting times, interesting places, interesting people.
Well... I want to ask you about all the other things that you've been up to because we haven't caught up with you on the show for a very long time.
Well, it's been a year.
I've actually missed you guys. And
what's news?
I love the new studio setup.
Thanks, man.
Thank goodness I watched. Are we in France at the moment? Looking behind us.
That could be the Alps. Could be anywhere. Alps?
I love.
We could change it. We could put you. Do you want to be in Bali?
No, I'm happy. I like the Alps. Alps are good today. It's beautiful. Yeah. Welcome to the Alps. Yeah, it's lovely.
Look out through Ellen's window.
This is great stuff, and it's so good to see everyone in studio. So it's great to be here. Mm. Lots of things have been happening. You know, life is good. Travel's great. I love traveling.
Mm. You do a lot, you've been traveling more than almost anyone I know.
Well, it's expensive, though.
I replaced the alcohol addiction with something more positive. So have I told you about the what I do? So the money I used to spend on alcohol, they make you do this in rehab. They make you do this financial test to see what did you spend
your money on.
How much did you spend a weekend, a month? And so it worked out, and then say it as there's a bit. But when I went out for wine or went to good restaurants, it was around 10,000 rand a month.
That's
just
a lot
on alcohol. Gareth, is it? Think about it. If you go to a club once or twice a week, you're spending a grand. That's 8,000 a month.
600 rand for a bottle of wine at a good restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. And so the 120,000 rand I put into a slush fund. In a slush fund. And that's for the travel money, just for fun.
Okay.
So it's an incentive. Sure.
And I mean, if you do add up 10 grand a month, it's 120,000 rand. That's not to be sniffed at. That's quite a lot of money.
So it gets you at least 3 tickets a year. And so so traveling's a great thing to do.
And then where do you stay when you travel?
No, then you have to stay in accommodation. You book hotels and it's like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I always people say, you travel a lot. I said, I don't have school fees.
You don't have to worry about all that stuff.
I don't have kids. I don't have to pay school fees or pay for extra lessons for water polo. I've been to school already. I don't want to go to school again.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to the first.
No, I'm totally with you.
So grade one and grade four.
Where do you still want to go? I mean, like, what's do you have a wish list of places? Because
we said, what are we going to? He must pick a city, and I must pick a city. Relatively close to each other.
Right.
And I'd never been to Venice and he'd never been to Athens. So we're doing Venice and Athens.
Okay.
And then some islands and fun in between that. But, because you learn so much. I mean, I hadn't been to Europe on a cruise for a long time. So last year I did a cruise and I went to Pompeii. And I was literally blown away.
Yeah, you told us.
By Pompeii.
Yeah.
So the world is there for you to see, and I find it's the only place that when you travel, you learn so much about other people, other cultures, and other things, and other places, and it takes you out of your little bubble that you sometimes get locked up in.
Yeah, and you sometimes think you're far up the food chain, and you have a high opinion of yourself until you're
Sam is going to the bush, it brings you a bit down to earth. It takes you in. It can and it's very inspiring. So I love it. I mean, everybody loves travel. You should.
No, of course. I mean, it's experience, right? And people love it for different reasons. Some people, the most important thing for them is where they stay, the hotel. Some people, it's the food. For some people, it's the culture.
It's all that. Now, coming to flights. Flights are an interesting thing.
Oh, I hate flying.
But you see, my problem is, can I tell the story? Because it's important. So I'm a part of Discovery, and now you get if you
big discounts
if you if you tear yourself correctly.
No, we've got TTS on the show often, so travel.co.za. They actually built the backbone of that. So I got
75% off a business class flight.
That's very good.
But it's still paying for my flight. And so for British Airways. So there I was in this, you know, the cabin where you close the cabin. And
Okay. You got your own little suite.
And then they brought that stupid Airbus back. And they stuck three people in each other. They had a man's face like this. I sleep with this and I look at him and we're doing that. But who do you talk to about this? Because I want to say to British Airways or any airline for that matter, when I've got a problem, it can be addressed. When flights get delayed, Gareth, they don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Now imagine you arrive at the Palace or Sun City. I mean, just think about something. And so your room will only be ready at 7 o'clock.
No, you'd be furious. You'd go and you know who to complain to.
And the manager would be there to say to your face, listen, we're going to do this.
So you don't know who to complain to.
So I don't know who to complain to.
So did you have a tantrum?
No, you can't have a tantrum. And you're in business class, you don't do it. But I just felt like saying, you can't give me one thing and then do another thing. And then who do you speak to? Then you write a letter.
But I've heard this is happening a lot. Like there are particularly on the London flights. I don't know whether it's true or not, but this is, again, anecdotal evidence that I've been told about by people I know that they find that these flights are often delayed. You go to the airport, you think you're on a 7 o'clock flight, and then they say no, it's 10 o'clock.
Well, the guy next to me had been pushed off, but I want to know, who do I phone at British Airways? Because the airlines don't. I find airlines don't care. They don't care. It's the one industry that doesn't give
a
damn about
you.
Patco buses care more about you. I promise you. Then British Airways, for that matter. A Patco bus cares. I promise you, that driver cares to the streets of that pothole. That Patco company cares more
about its passengers.
Then I promise you, then the airlines do. They do. You're delayed with your six children and all. They don't care. It's not like, we're sorry for the delay.
But you, 6 hours later. I didn't know that you, so when you, in business class, you look at the other person.
So now that's gone, instead of going 1-2-1, it's gone 2-3-2. And so, and the bread was broken, you know. The bed was broken.
Oh.
The bed. I'm going, what's going on?
Supposed to break bread.
My mouth is like
bread.
this whole thing's, but
this
here's my thing.
This bad, hey?
And I want to just say, please, if someone can help me.
I don't want this bread. How do we
address this one industry which thinks they can just do what they want? They really do.
I'm glad you've got an axe to grind.
Yeah, because that's the ANC. They used to think they could just do what they want. Now they can't.
Yeah.
So I want to know, how do we say, who do I phone?
There'll be a line.
They don't care. Same thing with Ethiopian Airlines.
Didn't you go to Taylor Swift?
Yeah, these are good things. I'm just trying to say, and I'm not trying to be, please, I'm not, I just,
okay, we got that out of
us,
your system now. Yeah. Tell me about Taylor Swift, because you went to the concert.
Wow. You know, I'm not a Swiftie. I knew it. So just imagine this. You arrive, Wembley Stadium, 92,000 people.
Oh.
Okay? This should cause an earth tremor with people dancing in Edinburgh. Think about it. 2.3 on the risk scale.
It caused an earth tremor.
Yeah, that was in the news in the UK when we were there.
Good Lord.
So 92,000 people.
It's a security risk. We should shut down Taylor Swift.
So this artist, and she's an artist, comes to the stage. Gareth, 3.5 hours performing 45 songs.
Ugh.
Playing three instruments. Dancers, backup singers, diving into the stage, which looks like she was diving into water.
Oh,
it
really?
Was
wow.
Insane. It was so incredible.
From a production point of view, it's worth the money.
So, but interesting fact, bumped into quite a lot of Americans. And I was like, wow, what are Americans doing in London to watch Taylor Swift? I mean, she's a proper American from Nashville. You know,
yeah, sure.
You know, she's, and it's cheaper to go to Europe to watch Taylor Swift at 9
to Europe.
I was closer to God than to Taylor Swift. That's how far I was from that stage.
Oh, you were up high.
No. It was cheaper at £950. It was cheaper for Americans to fly to the UK. She's $8,500 for the good seats.
Wow.
$4,500 for normal seats. And then backstage, being behind the stage, because her stage goes out, so you can't see. This. She is $2,000. For the seats behind.
But I saw. I mean, you were there. Everyone was there. We were talking about it the other day. I didn't look for this stuff. It was being served up to me about how Tom Cruise.
So we were there that same day.
Prince William.
Tom Cruise was there, and Prince William was there, and I mean, it was. But it's just, she's a phenomenal, and that's why I wanted to see her, because of this phenomenon aspect, you know. And I thought I'd use these.
And she's really good, you say.
Okay. She really is good, and you know what? I was very blessed because Britain, London is phenomenal. It's a phenomenal city. And it's now become one of my favorite cities. It never used to be, maybe because, I mean, I have been in summer before. But Gareth, it's just got something. London's changed. There's no more fish and chips. There's top restaurants. Do you know what I'm saying? It's no more just we've got to slip around in the tube. London's got a joie de vivre.
Oh, really?
All of a sudden, London is really become incredible, and it was Pride Month, so it was very gay friendly, and it was all cool, and there's a king, and so it's always fun.
Okay,
and I like the royal family.
You never used to.
Well, I didn't understand the point, and then you and I've met members of the royal family, Gareth. Yeah, but yeah. Have you ever met a? I mean, you've met a lot of queens, but I mean, you've never met.
No, I don't think so.
So I kind of, and the pomp and ceremony, I get it. And I get, it's a beautiful city. It's a historic city. It was and is still, to some extent, the center of the world. So I'm very pro-London.
Right, I like that. Mm. I've heard, though, that it's a major thing. I don't know whether that's just something you've experienced here, but there, tipping is really complicated.
No, not at all. They add 2.5% to the 12.5% to the bill,
and they do it automatically.
Yeah. But I do want to bring up something
because I have a major problem with tipping. I think tipping is not compulsory. I don't think people get a tip just for doing what they've got to do.
But Gareth, you know, so there's something that South Africa has started doing, and it's annoying. There's petrol station. There's the one in Engine. There's a petrol station.
Oh, quite a big one. On the way to Sandton.
Yeah. On the way to Sandton, yeah. South Road. There's another one I stopped at yesterday, which was Shell Garage. Also close to on Winnie Mandela Drive.
Doesn't matter where they are.
No, it's important because I want to point them out. I remember my grandmother who was born in Mayfair, didn't have money, but she would say, put R5 petrol in, but put R4.80 into the car and leave 20 cent tip. We don't have cash anymore. When we pay for petrol, we
cards, yeah, tap. Phones, yeah.
And so you can't tap the petrol attendants any longer.
But
a lot of places don't. And you know, Gareth, petrol attendants is a service that they do, and as far as I remember in my 46 years of life, You tip your petrol attendant. You say you give
a gratuity.
So, what
is it about these two specific?
No, not these two. It's a lot more than that. They don't give the guys tips anymore. And I want to just make an appeal that
I hate tipping.
I love tipping, but I never have the cash to do it. I've got to go and draw cash and then buy something to get change.
Gareth, people need money, and they on basic salaries. Imagine not tipping a waitron. I mean,
I have no problem with
tip a bar.
I feel good doing it.
If you go to the bar, I mean, I don't go to the bar, but you give them a tip. Guys, that's how people make money. And my appeal is, if you know petrol station owners, or if you're a petrol station owner, please put that in your card facility. I know it's an admin problem. I get it. But do it. You know, all over the world, America, London, it's on the bill. And you just pay it. And you don't have to question it. And it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but it also shouldn't be something that's just taken off immediately, because it's a reward for excellent service. That's what a tip is. It's not just for existing. I don't like this idea that we're tipping people for doing an average job.
I'm
generous. Don't get me wrong. I'm not some schnorrer who sits there and goes, "Well, I'm not tipping because I don't want to save money." It's like if someone does an incredible job, I will tip them 15, sometimes 20%. Without even thinking about it, it's not a problem to me. But I don't like this mandatory thing.
But have you ever done? I've been a waiter.
No, I haven't.
That's how you got. You got €3.90 an hour.
Yeah.
So then get a better job.
No, but
it's a waiter job. It's not your job for life.
But that's what you as a student people rely on. Come on.
Please. You want to support a whole bunch of. So you just said just now you don't have to pay school fees. That's why you can travel. So you want to cry me a river about tipping? Then you go and draw R1,000 every month, keep it on you, and just hand out tips.
I think it's important.
Don't tell me. Don't force me.
I think it's important.
You could do whatever you want. Don't make me do it. But I'm not getting involved. I'm
all
fine.
I'm saying is these petrol stations allow the tipping feature.
Do they not allow?
The machine won't allow.
Sasha says, I always tip using my card at the fueling stations.
But I didn't know you could do that.
Can I tell you, Sasha? Very, very few places. A lot of places have stopped. Come, just go to the local, some of the local ones here in Sandton. Some do, a lot don't.
I didn't know that was an option. I'm really old school.
This is interesting. Raven says there's no tipping here in New Zealand. Everyone gets paid very well, but that means the service is crap because there's no incentive.
So good point. So that's number one.
And the salaries are so similar.
And the salaries are good. And they can live on those salaries. Mm. So a waiter gets the £1,000 a month. But tippings are what people... Guys, whether you on the yachts, whether you are...
The yachts are all about tipping.
All about tipping. It's a big thing. Tips are important. And then they give you the extra service. And I agree. If the service is crap, don't tip.
No, then you don't have to tip.
But a lot of the time, tipping is saying thank you for a service. And people rely on it. Because you get
Slippery Pickle says, my new business model is to expect my customers to pay my staff. Great business model. Right? Come on, Al.
Come on.
If you want to go and save the world.
No, guys.
You go ahead. It's fine. You can tip all of the ones that I'm not tipping. How about that? We've got a deal.
Gareth, I know you tip everybody. Don't talk nonsense. Come on.
But I'm not going to. I don't think it's mandatory and I don't think it should be compulsory.
I didn't say mandatory, but give the option.
And also, don't tell me that, when you're waitering, it's a low paid job. Yeah, but you shouldn't be waitering for 40 years. You got to find another job along the way. Maybe you become a manager.
We're not talking about
maybe
that.
Maybe you become the owner of the restaurant eventually. You're the chef.
In this country, we have people that are petrol attendant services.
Sure.
They rely on that
it's
money.
An honorable job.
They rely on that money. And guess what? The fuel station managers are not paying them what they should be paid.
You know, my to be opinion at 2 o'clock in the morning filling up your car. Completely about tipping. I used to always tip, and I still do always tip. However, I had a different opinion about it before. Before what? Before battling for money.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That changed my perspective completely.
And in COVID, all the apps allowed you to tip so much more to the kitchen staff and the waitrons and that, because tipping is a big part of their money.
Uber Eats or Mr. Delivery, it's 10% for me.
I do 15. Straight up. 15.
That's very generous.
But, but what I'm saying, but you don't know what that service is going to look like and the food's going to come upside down. So why are you doing it there? Yeah, and my milkshake comes upside down.
But
on top of
you know what that is. Okay, so that's if I'm lazy because I'm ordering on Uber Eats, then I will pay 15% tip.
But you're lazy to cook the food in the restaurant, so I go to the restaurant.
That's exactly the point. But I'd rather order it and then someone has to bring it.
But I'm saying you're still lazy. Someone's still got to go. You go to the restaurant. You're not cooking the food.
You're tipping the person for bringing it to you.
No, that's your service fee. That's your delivery fee.
I think they get paid.
See, I think it's just caught yourself
poorly.
They do. That's a fact.
Maybe I have. Maybe you've caught me out.
We caught Gareth.
I don't know.
I don't want to be on the wrong side of catching Gareth's guards. Okay?
It doesn't often happen. It doesn't often happen.
I'm happy to be caught out on this one. I just don't think it should ever be compulsory. And by the way, if someone screws it up, you should be able to take your tip back.
A different story, and I'm not disagreeing with you. And if it's poor service, I get it. I was going to ask you, so Gunnar, I don't know if you spoke about it this morning. Interesting.
The government of national unity?
Yeah. Mm. John's DNA, and the fight was for the Minister of Agriculture.
Agriculture,
hey? Fascinating.
They wanted that.
Is that what you want? The farms? I mean, the freedom fight, I can't
understand. Give us the land.
I mean, it's interesting portfolio for him.
Yeah.
John, can you see him?
Gayton McKenzie for Minister of Sport. By the way, let me just ask anybody who ever went to school or is at school or remembers school, there is a chasm between sport, arts, and culture. Like the sport kids are here, yeah. The arts and culture kids are over here. They're totally different, but they throw them all and they smush them into one ministry.
So interesting, because he was a former prisoner, so I would have put him in correctional services. I would have moved the free and front people who are going to be very strict in prisons, I would have put them to agriculture.
Because he's prisons, right?
Prisons. I was fascinated by all of that going on yesterday.
I don't know if there was much choice. I think there was fighting for the scraps at some point.
Also, what you've all got to remember, and I think I may have hinted at this earlier, is like politicians are never expert in their portfolio.
They're not meant to necessarily.
No, of course, but they usually don't know a damn thing about what they're. I mean, Bladen Zimande is science and technology minister. I mean, I don't think Bladen Zimande knows how to switch his phone on.
But I think we're in for some really interesting times. I've got to say, I think South Africa's back on the. I think we get to start flying again.
I think so.
I think it's.
I'm cautiously optimistic,
and I'm so positive for South Africa. I think it's a good result, and
it's not the same as it was. The
markets are
going
to rally, by the way, when they open today. So
just tell me quickly,
Elle,
what do you think of this? Because you've always had like lots to say about fat people too, and you've been very much fatter.
Yeah, up and down like a
Gayton is fat, says Bitcoin Boots. How can he be Minister of Sport?
There are plenty of fat policemen.
Stoffel was also fat.
Listen, it's
they're fat fit people.
Yeah,
fat fit.
Yeah, there's some fat. All the spinners are fat like quite.
Too.
Yeah, a lot of spinners that can spin. They're spinning on the spinning bike.
Oh,
yeah.
Those ones, right?
And okay. and they broader.
I thought spinster. Women who can't get married.
Spinner.
Why are you calling them fat?
Did you say women who can't get married?
Yes, spinsters are women who can't get married.
I can get married if I want to.
No, but you'd be married,
so
you're not a spinster. You're not
Leanne.
You just might be
please.
A cat lady, Leanne.
I like the way she was looking for a reason to get pissed off with me, though. Did you see that? Yeah. She was like, what did you say? Did you say women who can't get married?
I was protecting the spinsters.
You know what? We go back to what I spoke about earlier, this revolting trend of women growing body hair. And there's no excuse if you don't have to be a spinster.
You can grow your body hair, but maybe not show it off.
Don't do it. It's revolting. Elle, you have any comment to make on?
I don't generally go with naked women, so I wouldn't see it.
But come on, you still think it's probably not right?
It's a bit. I don't know. It's a bit German. It really is. I don't know. No, it's not for me.
All right. Okay, very good. Well, you know what? That's all that we've got time for this morning.
I want to just say one thing. This is great. What a setup.
Thanks,
Elle. I'm so great to
be
here.
It's nice to have you
here. My hair looks lekker.
It looks good.
I just remember my color schemes and I can keep this in mind now.
As long as you're wearing green, you're fine.
This is really, really, really great. And so, congratulations to be on the Real Network and on the great stuff that you're doing. Leanne, you're looking better than ever. Gareth, your birthday's in a month, turning 47. We're on our way to 50. Crazy. Life is crazy.
Are you trying to piss me off?
Yeah, I'm just trying to tell you, you're getting old. At least you're not fat.
I don't get pissed off about being older. I enjoy it.
Oh.
Yeah, now you can be a nudist.
Yes, right. I'm ready.
Yeah, we're all going to go to
I'm ready.
What do nudists do in winter? Do they shut down the...
They get heated pools and jacuzzis.
No.
I would imagine.
Really?
I've never... And
fireplaces. Shame. Spare a thought for the nudists in winter.
Poor nude people in winter.
No, I've never thought about that until this morning. Yeah. Like, who looks after the nudists in the winter? What do they do? Where do they run around with their tackle out if it's too cold?
No, you put fireplaces in. I don't know. I'm not a nudist. I wouldn't know. I'm not there. But I can get some for you if you want on the show.
Yeah,
we can
let's
do it.
Get some.
I know a few.
Yeah. But they mustn't come in because I know what they look like. They're not nice looking people.
Actually, there are a few hot ones occasionally.
Nonsense. Nonsense. I've never met any nudist.
But I am a nudist in my bedroom. I can admit that. I like to be nude in my bedroom.
I have no doubt,
Elle. And sleep without clothes on.
Oh, no.
No doubt.
But there's too much stuff going on at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You know what? The show should have finished 2 minutes ago. This is revolting. Okay, we will see you Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. Ciao.